Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move quickly on, because no one would understand either of us if I tried to continue. You can SMS the show on 44780008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. And a big welcome to listeners of Colourful Radio, based in London, but spreading its colour increasingly throughout the land. And welcome here every Thursday at this time to Comment. And listeners on Colourful Radio, please note that the above mentioned details, phone numbers, etc., are for this show only. Tonight I'm asking, is it time for the United Nations to move out of the United States? I did so last week on social media, but today a much more important man than I did so from the podium at the General Assembly in New York itself. President Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, who has himself been the victim of US bullying and blackmail in the last month or so, when his aeroplane was forced to land because the United States asked its satrapies in Europe to ground his plane because they thought that Edward Snowden was aboard it. Of course, he was not, but it was an ignominious way to treat a great president of Latin America. And today, Evo Morales had his revenge, because what he was saying is undeniably true, that the United States is abusing its power as the host country of the United Nations. It is bugging and subverting virtually all, if not all, of the delegations to the United Nations, bugging their offices, bugging the communications of their ambassadors, even during the run-up to the Iraq War and in conjunction with the United Kingdom, bugging the office of the Secretary General Kofi Annan himself. Even their own allies are bugged in that building by the river in New York. Even worse, in one way, they have begun over the last 10 or 20 years to abuse their power to issue visas to delegations to actually come to the United States to visit the United Nations General Assembly. It's almost unbelievable. Just last week, which was the cause of myself taking to the airwaves about this matter, they began to try and pick and choose which individuals on the Venezuelan delegation to the United Nations would be given a visa and which would not. Venezuela is not at war with the United States, and even if it was, that would be more reason to allow them freely to move into the United Nations, because that's what the United Nations is supposed to be about, resolving disputes between nations. They're not at war with the United States. As a matter of fact, the United States buys a very great deal of the oil produced by Venezuela. The president of Venezuela is an elected official, but he and his predecessor, the late and great Hugo Chavez, were regularly bullied and blackmailed by the United States when it came to this time of the year and the delegations coming to New York for the United Nations session. So is it time, as Evo Morales said today, for the UN to move out? And where should it move out to? It was quite a week at the United Nations. The new president of Iran, in a bravura performance, a tour de force, a tour de horizon, swept away all these hyenas that have been calling bad names to Iran these last years past. Of course, the so-called Israeli delegation walked out and didn't hear him, but what he had to say will have reached them nonetheless. He was very, very clear. Iran does not believe in nuclear weapons, is not seeking to build nuclear weapons, is ready to talk to the world about nuclear issues as well as others, and moreover, that the entire world should be a nuclear-free world. If every country was like Iran and had no nuclear weapons, well, there'd be nothing to worry about on that score, would there? He was also very clear about the Holocaust, which he denounced as a vile crime, utterly condemned, and slew the ghost of the days when Iran was accused of denying the existence of the Holocaust. He even took with him to New York a Jewish member of parliament from the Iranian Majlis. How wonderful! He took a Jewish member of parliament with him because Jews have an honored place in Iran. And despite all the blandishments of the so-called State of Israel, the Jews in Iran prefer to stay in Iran. I think President Rouhani had a masterful week in New York at the United Nations. Tell me what you think. These are my views. They're not necessarily the views of anyone else. They're certainly not the views of any government, and they're not views that were given to me by anyone to express. They are my views. But if you have different views, yours are especially welcome. Let's take the first caller. It's Lever in Norwich in England. Lever, welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure, George.
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
Nations situation, it obviously has to be reformed. I've been thinking about this. I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
The permanent memberships have to be ended, eliminating the misuse of the veto, which is a massive problem.
Of course, Lever, you would need a decision of those who've got a veto in order to achieve
that.
Right. So we can safely say your first idea falls at the first fence. But it's a good one nonetheless.
Number two. I think the meetings should be held in areas of the world where they're implementing policies have the most detrimental effects, such as Libya, so they can see firsthand of actually what their policies are doing.
The fanatics would murder them all. That's the fanatics we've put in power in Libya, I mean.
God. And the other one, I believe member state delegations should not be allowed to walk out on speeches, which the Israeli delegation did. Because basically it's making the institution unfit for purpose.
Okay, Lever, three good points. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Cyprus and talk to Aidan. Aidan, welcome to the show. Go on, Aidan, go on. Put your television down to zero or I'll have to move on. Aidan, are you there?
Hi, George. How are you?
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
It's about the United Nations.
Yeah.
I'd just like to tell you what they're doing here in Cyprus. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in New York, but I can safely say that the soldiers here, I see them every day sunning themselves on the beach and pretty much having a good time.
Yeah, it's quite a good posting for the UN, Cyprus.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out exactly. I mean, if you think they've got problems in the Security Council, I mean, it's mad to see them when they're actually the feet on the ground. It's like they're not doing anything here.
I suppose you could say they're guarding a ceasefire line. Of course, the British had a major base in Cyprus and still do, but it wasn't for the defence of Cyprus, as we found out when Cyprus was invaded by the Turkish military junta in 1974, and they didn't lift a finger to defend Cyprus.
No, that's right. Well, no, I think they were part of the invasion plan anyway, so it's...
Well, that's right. I mean, the Turkish military junta were members of NATO, after all.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And I think it was an American operation to knock out the Greek junta in the south, actually. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, ever since then, when you see about what United Nations posting should be, i.e., Syria's a start, and you see them over here, and you know that we're only 70 miles away from Syria.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't make sense to see what they're doing. I mean, you know, you talk about a waste of money here. I mean, what they're not keeping the peace here anymore because It's not because of the United Nations, there's peace in Cyprus.
No, that's right. Aidan, if we moved it, where would we move it to? What's your view on that?
Well, you know what? I think any Muslim country, because I mean that's where we need peacekeepers more than anywhere else, really, isn't it? Because I mean that's where the suffering is. That's where the wars are, and that's where the civilians are getting killed more than in any other part of the world. It's not in New York. It's not in Europe. It's in most of any Muslim country now.
Yeah. Of course, the security of the United Nations has to be guaranteed, and the security of the members of the United Nations has to be guaranteed against the spying and burgling of the host country's intelligence services. And that's why we have to move out of New York. Geneva probably would be the place. There already is a significant United Nations outfit there. Aidan, enjoy your time in Cyprus. Great to talk to you again. Let's talk to Amal in Wolverhampton in England. Amal, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Go ahead.
I think about this, about the United Nations, should they stay there and should not?
Yeah.
We should ask this question, I think, for 4 years ago. It came too late. United Nations should stay not in America, should not stay a country who commits every couple of years crime. To my eyes, in my view, I see the United Nations is just wasting of time and corrupt people, and where they commit all the criminals and all the crime they don't do there. And secondly, I'd like to say to the people of Iran, Ya Ashraf al-Nas wa Akram al-Nas, you are honorable people. Your president, your government, your people, you are honorable people. And you didn't say it today, and you didn't say it yesterday, and you didn't say it before 10 years. You are not wanting to make it any nuclear. You want only nuclear energy. And
actually, the late Ayatollah Khomeini made that point clear right after the Islamic Revolution, Amal.
Fatwa, and this is a fatwa for humanity. He say it because he know it. This is against the humanity. But who he saying to? To Israel? To America? No, they do not understand what is humanity. And I think the President Rouhani, he done a well job.
He did a wonderful job. I'm very proud of him, actually.
I am very proud. Any president what comes from Iran, we are proud, and there are justice. And I hope that there will be another nation. There are justice, but we will follow it, and we will see what
But this one, in. This one, Amal, used to be my constituent in Glasgow. I was his Member of Parliament when he was a young man studying there at the university. Amal, thanks very much for that call. Let's go to Cairo, talk to Abdulaziz. Abdulaziz, welcome to the show. Now put your volume down, please, to zero.
Yeah. Yes, George, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm just trying to tell you that it is high time we know what the United Nations are united upon. They are united upon hypocrisy, and because democracy is exclusion of God. The system is defined as the system of the people by the people for the people. There's no mention of God there. So anything that is united without God is hypocrisy. So they have been united upon hypocrisy. We are not surprised. So and he who pays the piper dictates the tune. America pays the piper. He sponsored the United Nations. It's just hypocrisy. So we know that U.S. is the United Nations. Whatever U.S. dictates is what happens. It is now that Russia and Co are waking up to know the reality. But what can they do? It's not too late. Israel will end up taking over United Nations. So that's my submission today, George.
Okay, it's a very good one. Thanks, Abdulaziz. In Cairo, let's go along the coast to Algeria and talk to Ali. Ali, welcome to the show.
Okay, no.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ali.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, George.
Walaikum salam. Good to hear from you. Go on, sir.
Okay. Judge, I have some issue to say about United Nations and what they call it. You know, the United Nations we are seeing today, we don't know what is the meaning of the United Nations today. because he meets American Parliament. And then American doing whatever they want, nobody talk about that. And then again now, everywhere in the world, when you go, and then when you think about United Nations, they will tell you they are there for the peacekeeping or peace doing what they want. But I believe every nation and everything who is going on in the world, they are the people who are taking it there. Now, I'm talking about Iran president. May God bless Iran and bless all their presidents. Even Americans, they're surprised for Rouhani because they think maybe it will come somebody who will be associated with them. But by the grace of God, God brings somebody who will not follow them. And then it's somebody who will say the truth. And then you know the truth. And then the world know where the truth are. Why Americans did not attack Israel? Why they don't think about their nuclear? Iran is not the first country or North Korea to get the nuclear. But why always Israel threaten people in the Gaza, in the world, but nobody talks? But Iran didn't do nothing.
No, now, well, as the president made clear, Iran hasn't invaded any other country in hundreds of years, in centuries. I wish my country could say the same. Ali, thanks for that. In Algeria, let's talk to Mohammed in South Wales. Mohammed, welcome to the show. Mohammed, welcome.
Hi there. Sorry, George. Good evening to you. How are you?
And to you, sir. By the grace of God, good. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, what it is, the UN should have moved out 11 years ago. When America and his allies made a false allegation against Saddam Hussein having a missile which could reach UK, London, in 45 minutes, right? And it was all just a hypocrisy on behalf of them to control the oil of the Middle Eastern countries. Basically, what it is, they should have moved it out straight away there and then, the world. And going to Geneva, I still think they will still have a control, right? Because Geneva is part of UNA, UN, part of European country, right? So therefore, they will still have their influence.
Yeah, it well, it's not in the European Union. It's not in NATO. Of course, all European countries are inclined towards the US view of the world to some extent.
Exactly.
But I think it would be a lot better in Geneva than it is in New York, don't you?
No, why don't we have it in China or Russia or somewhere else? Why?
Well,
I'd
love that.
Why should we have it in influenced countries?
I'd love that, Mohammed, but you're unlikely to get enough support in the United Nations Security Council to get that through. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but George, that's only about 30 countries, right? Who are a part of European and America and Canada and Australia, right? But then you got the other non-alliance movement. That's over 120 or 130 countries.
No,
right?
I agree. But I'm looking at it practically. You have to get such a decision through the United Nations in order to achieve it.
Yeah,
and
but I mean,
have you suggested relocating to Beijing, you probably wouldn't get that through.
Why would you get it in Geneva?
Well, you might. It might be difficult for Britain, for example, to refuse to move it to Geneva. Anyway, Mohammed, a lot of people trying to get through.
Yeah,
you need
very much
to, by the way, you need to visit my Facebook page and follow up on my Tony Blair documentary because it deals with exactly the point that you were just making. The Killing of Tony Blair is the name of the film. Shaquille's on the line. He's in Vancouver, in North America, Canada. Shaquille, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to speak to you, and we're proud of you, what you're doing. It's
thank
amazing,
you, sir.
And we love you, and we respect your opinion, and
thank you.
We're very happy.
Thank you, sir.
We're glad that we have somebody like you in the House of Parliament to speak the truth.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, and you're welcome to come to Vancouver one day.
I've spoken there many times. You'll find on YouTube... I spoke at crowd of more than 1,000 people in a church in Vancouver just a year or two ago.
Oh, we missed you.
It's worth looking up. It was quite a good night. Anyway, go on, Shaquille.
I agree with what you had mentioned on Facebook that the UN should be moved out of US. But if it does move out of U.S., first of all, I don't think they would allow it. But if they did, where would it go? Where would you recommend it to go?
Well, I'm saying Geneva. That seems logical to me. It's rather more central in the landmass of the world. It is a place where there already are many United Nations institutions. It is neutral. It's not in NATO. It's not even in the European Union. And it's a very nice city. Of course, I'd prefer it in many other places, but I think that is a credible candidate for the job of host of the United Nations, and one which people would find difficult to argue against, Shaquille.
I agree with you 100% on that. I was thinking Portugal, but Geneva is much better, I think.
Portugal's good. I sometimes live there myself. I have a house in Portugal, by the grace of God. It's a very fine country. It's even nice and warm, which Geneva generally is not. Shaquille, thanks for the call. Saeed's on the line in the north of Ireland. Saeed, welcome. Saeed, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm on. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, sir. Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
How are you? I just want to ask a quick question, and maybe you can give me the answer.
Yes.
I don't know what this United Nations call, because we don't know the purpose of them. If Israel do any atrocity, they don't say nothing. They don't even react on them. American government do anything, no comment. British do anything, no comment. But if they see anyone doing just like something, oh, this guy, let's go and kill him. What's the purpose of them?
Well, no, you're absolutely right about the double standard side, and that wouldn't change wherever the United Nations was based. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Walters in Norway. Walters, you're on the air. Walters, turn the volume on your TV down. Walters, are you there?
Yes, I've done that.
Okay, brother, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Josh. Thank you for the wonderful job you are doing here.
Thank you, sir.
It's very disturbing when you hear that the United Nations, which is in the New York, America has refused to issue visa for some states' men to travel.
Yes.
America is a country that is violating international law. These are things that we have to look at.
Yeah.
America is opposing countries that see the world differently from them. If you don't follow the economic system that they put in place, that is capitalism, which is unfair and exploitative, you feel very insecure, like Morales said today, and that is true. The president of Venezuela could not travel. I cannot actually confirm the reason he gave. The president of Sudan, I'm not sure that he has been able to get a visa, because that was also on the press today. So I think that it is not only how much you contribute to the United Nations, it is the morality, it is the objectivity behind that that should let that organization stay where it is. So I think that if we continue to keep up a system that has been existing since 1945, it doesn't work anymore. The United Nations doesn't work anymore, because the objective for which it was formed after the Second World War, they are still the objectives, the same people on the table taking decisions, vetoing what they think is not in their favor, and accepting what is favoring them. So I think that this United Nations has to be moved from New York. I cannot even accept that it should go to Geneva, because it is the same system. They operate the same system. They have the
Tell me where then.
Account.
Where should it go, Walter?
So it can go to Iran, it can go to Venezuela, it can go to Brazil, it can go to South Africa, it can go to China. Why only in New York?
Well, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. I'd be happy to see it in any of those places. But you have no chance of getting the United Nations Security Council to vote in favor of putting the United Nations in Iran. I'm sorry, but that's just a fact. Maybe I'm just being more pragmatic than you. God willing, I'll be back in 3 minutes from now after the news headlines. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're reviewing the week at the United Nations, where the new president of Iran, Rouhani, swept the boards in a tour d'horizon which shut the mouths of almost all critics of Iran and made impossible the United States' previous stance of refusing to talk to Iran. Now, the foreign minister of Iran has had a meeting with John Kerry, effectively the foreign minister of the United States. President Rouhani made it clear that Iran has no time for nuclear weapons, no interest in making them, and indeed every interest in the demand to make the region and the world a nuclear-free zone. He took with him one of Iran's Jewish members of parliament. Yes, that's right, Jewish members of parliament in the Islamic Republic of Iran, because Jews have an honored place in Iran, which is more than you could say for, historically, most of the Christian countries in the world. And the president of Iran made clear that he utterly condemned the Holocaust. No Holocaust denial for him. Despite all that, the so-called Israeli delegation walked out when President Rouhani was speaking. But his words will chase them through the corridors of the United Nations in New York. Which leads me to the second point I want to make, which is, should the corridors be in New York in the first place? President Evo Morales of Bolivia, who was, you'll remember, subject to US diktat and aggression just a month or two ago when his presidential jet was forced out of the sky by US orders to its European satrapies to bring his plane down because they thought that a former US citizen, Edward Snowden, might be on board the plane. Of course, he was not. No apology has been forthcoming. And Morales made the point that it is simply intolerable that the United States should be allowed to abuse its position as the host country of the United Nations, bugging and bullying and blackmailing and burgling and denying visas to delegations with every right to come to the United Nations in New York. So is it time for the UN to move out of the United States? And if it is, to where should it move? Mariam's on the line in Qom in Iran. Mariam, welcome to the show. Mariam?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mariam.
Okay. I am nine years old from Iran. I just want to say that UN should not be in America because it's unfair. UN should be in a friendly country and a country that everyone is a friend of. America is a country that is in a war with so many other countries all the time. So really, why should UN be in such a country?
How wonderful. Mariam, what age are you, if I may ask?
Yes.
How old are you, if I may ask?
9 years old.
You're 9 years old?
Yes.
How wonderful. Out of the mouths of babes comes such wisdom. Mariam in Iran, in Qom, who says that the United States is not a fit and proper place to host the United Nations because it's at war all the time. And when it's not at war, it's threatening war. And even when it's not threatening war, it's bugging and burgling the very offices of the ambassadors to the United Nations that it is sworn to protect. And who will protect us from the protector? That's one of the reasons why I agree with Evo Morales. We learned, and we'll learn more when the Chilcot inquiry reports in a few weeks' time in the United Kingdom, just the sheer extent of the lawlessness of the United States and the United Kingdom at the United Nations, bugging and burgling even the Secretary General's office itself. Thanks, Mariam. Here's Rafiq in Leicester in England. Rafiq, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Yeah, hello, George.
Yes, go on, sir.
Yeah, United Nations can never be independent. United Nations has been ruled by America all the time, and it's never going to change because if it was a proper United Nations, it would have imposed some sort of sanction against Israel and other people.
Mm. Well, Britain and the US have always vetoed that, of course.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got to tell you. Because
well, it's a good point. It's undoubtedly the case. But it's not useless, the United Nations. If it was useless, the United States and the United Kingdom would not be so angry with it for refusing their diktat to launch a new aggression against Syria, for example. They have been unable to do that because the Security Council will not agree to it. And China and Russia are members of the Security Council, and they have a veto. Rafiq, thanks for the call. Let's go back to Tehran this time and talk to Ahmad. Ahmad, welcome to the show. Ahmad, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, George, and good night.
Good evening to you. Go ahead.
First of all, let me have the honor to thank you, my president, Mr. Rouhani, for his splendid speech in the United States.
He did wonderfully. You should be
assembly.
You should be proud of him, Ahmad.
Yes,
he did wonderfully.
Surprised me.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, yes, that it surprised me. I didn't vote for him in the election. I voted for another candidate, but I really appreciated his speech, and this is a very good chance for us. After that, dear George, it is for years and for decades that the nations, the independent nations, are disappointed of the United Nations. The problem is not only the location of this organization. The problem is with the basis. Let me introduce the next permanent member of the Security Council to you, for example. Everybody knows that it would be Japan. Why? Because Japan is funding the United Nations and its affiliates for many years because it has been a very good economic power for the last decade. So this is not going to help nations. It is proven to everybody and every nation now that this post-war era is not going to solve the problems of the world anymore. And everybody is looking for the new world order. But let me say that this new world order will not be as the way and as the approaches that the United States and its allies are looking for. We, the independent nations, will not allow them to establish the new world order like what they did after the Second World War.
Well, look, Ahmad, there is a new world order which is emerging, and I can assure you it's not one that's to the liking of the United States. It is not to the liking of the United States that China is, in a few years from now, going to be the most important, most powerful country in the world, and that by the end of this decade, actually, certainly by the middle of the next decade, nothing will happen in the world unless China agrees to it. That's part of the new world order, and the United States doesn't like that one bit. Russia is now a country which is recovering its strength and its dignity. And South Africa, and Brazil, and India, and so on and so forth. All of these new emerging powers are not to the liking of the United States. But before you go, Ahmad, I just want to record this point, and I hope that your neighboring countries are listening. Ahmad, in Tehran, phones Press TV, an Iranian television channel, to praise the president of Iran and announces that he never voted for President Rouhani. First of all, I say to your neighbors, there was an election for president in Iran. When are the elections coming up in your country? Second, that it's permissible to vote against the guy who wins the presidency in Iran. Would that be permissible in your country? And thirdly, it's more than permissible, it's welcome for somebody who votes against the president of Iran to come on Iranian television and announce that he voted against the president of Iran. Ahmad, I really thank you, and I can't actually thank you enough. Now, of course, another brazen, bloody, disastrous example of the kind of extremism which is cascading around the world, courtesy of Al-Qaeda and its ally Al-Shabaab in Somalia, has been unfolding on our screens in Nairobi, in Kenya, over the last few days. There are many unanswered questions, including whether there were British and American citizens involved in the operation that these fanatics mounted, armed to the teeth against women and children, predominantly. This is the first point I want to make to the supporters of these Takfiri fanatics. If you have 15 so-called mujahideen armed to the teeth and predetermined to die, why did you have to capture a shopping center? Why did you have to murder women and children? If you're so big and brave and well-armed and destined for Jannah, as you imagine that you are when embarking upon these kind of operations, what was to stop you attacking a legitimate target? What was to stop you attacking people who could fight you back? What kind of Islam tolerates the murder of women and children by the score in a shopping center? What kind of people are you? I'm only asking. Reem's on the line. She's in North Carolina. Reem, welcome to the
Hi,
show.
George,
go ahead, sister.
Salamu alaikum, if I'm allowed.
Walaikum salam. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Reem.
And I've been listening to your last comment, and if you allow me to comment too on your statement.
Yep.
There is nothing in Islam that talks about killing. I'm sure you know that no one in Islam or nowhere in our religion it says to kill innocent people, and I'm sure all other religions are the same. But these people, I'm originally from Egypt, and I have seen how they can make an enemy from a press to allow some people in power from other places to shoot somewhere or to do something to this country. But it's not in Islam, and it has nothing to do with the religion. That's my first comment. And secondly, what you were talking about, are you still with me?
Yes, I am. I'm really listening intently.
Thank you. And regarding the UN, it's a very interesting question what was raised to have it somewhere else. And I'm sure if it goes to Geneva or anywhere else, it might facilitate or it might make it easier for other countries that are not allowed in to go in and out and all that and to have the right to speak. But what about the veto? Wouldn't that make a more effect?
Yes, of course. Of course, Reem. But the only way you could abolish the veto is by persuading all five of the countries who have got a veto not to cast it against the proposal to scrap the veto. So we are absolutely in a catch-22 with regard to the veto. So that's not achievable. But what might be achievable on the basis of the United States' behavior is to persuade an overwhelming number of members of the United Nations that they should be moving the headquarters to a neutral country. Reem, thanks for the call. Out there in North Carolina, Fatima's on the line now. In Saudi Arabia, Fatima, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Just a comment.
Yes, go on.
Yes, just a comment on United Nations issue.
Yeah.
Your concerns, you're so concerned about them not moving out of United States.
Yeah.
These hour watchers and land grabbers, they belong, you can send them to Alaska. Why not there if they can spend billions on killing people all over the world? Billions and trillions they spend on killing people.
Yeah.
And they want to give vetoes to who they want to. They don't deserve this consideration. You know, I think the workers should demand them to move wherever. I think, of course, it's supposed to be decided. But this is what I feel about them. And talking about these things, if I may comment on these guys in
Nairobi, yes.
Yes. These people, again, George, this Al-Qaeda, from where, who's behind all of this? If you just look who's behind all of this, as these Al-Qaeda is guys that's being utilized to do these dirty work of these big powers. At the end of it is, you know, they get killed and innocent people get killed on this. So, anyway, thanks.
Well, scores of them. Fatima, I'm very grateful to you for that call from Saudi Arabia. These people killed scores of women and children in the last few days. I don't know the exact number at the moment, but it's at least 50 women and children. And I'm asking again the question, maybe somebody can venture an answer. If they're so big and brave and well-armed and believe they're going to heaven at the end of this operation, why do they have to kill women and children in their operation? Wouldn't there be a more worthwhile, a more equal adversary that they could take on? After all, they've decided they're going to die. They are at least 15. Why do they have to go and murder women and children? What kind of warrior goes into a shopping center and murders women and children? That's all I'm asking. Mario's in Malta. Let's hear from him. Mario, go ahead. Yes, you're on the air, Mario.
Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening, George. To you.
You know what I think, George? U.S., you know, when they have a president and we go in to finish, when he's going to finish the terms that he's done, you know, they all start a war, you know. You know, I can't understand these things. Even though the Palestinians, these people, you know, they never going to get free of the Jews, you know, because America is with the Jew. And that's not right, you know. They should, like you said, they should get out from America, NATO or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's nothing, of course, to do with Jews. I made the point earlier that President Rouhani...
Yeah, their land, you know.
Yeah, but hear me out. President Rouhani was accompanied to New York by a Jewish member of parliament from the Islamic Republic of Iran. There are hundreds of thousands of Jews active in our movement for justice for the Palestinian people. And there are millions of Jews in the world who care nothing for the so-called Jewish state, which, of course, is nothing of the kind. So the nomenclature is very important. As President Rouhani was making clear, we have nothing against Jews. It's Zionism and Israel against which we are ranged. Mario, thanks for the call. Hussein is in Denmark. We're getting around the world tonight. Hussein, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salaam alaikum, George. Excellent program you have here.
Thank you.
I would like to say to you, George, that the United Nations doesn't work functionally today at the moment. But according to, you know, Iran atomic program energy, we doesn't have the weapons. Everybody knows that. The whole world knows that. But they are pursuing us anyway. They are making the worst out of the situation. But the everyday people in Iran are suffering. Everybody is suffering. The world is suffering, and the oil prices are suffering, and the humanitarian, the whole world is suffering about the Iranian situation. The United States just want to make war with Iran because it is an Islamic power and is ruled by law and honor and respect with humanity and loyalty. And China understands that, and Russia understands that, but there are also economic issues with them. They are winning this battle because they make money out of this.
Well, Iran is definitely winning because now it's proving increasingly difficult for the imperialist powers to gain a big enough majority in the world to justify their policy towards Iran. The United States couldn't even pull off its stated intention to launch a so-called limited attack on Syria. Still less could it do so if it were intent upon launching an attack upon Iran, because the vast majority of people in the world know that Iran has never invaded anyone in hundreds of years. Iran has no weapons of mass destruction, unlike other countries in its own region, and of course amongst those who are threatening it. And Iran is an important, significant, ancient civilization that has to be taken account of in the world. Cannot be criminalized, marginalized, and tossed into the outer atmosphere. Iran exists, is going to continue to exist. The Islamic Republic of Iran exists and is going to continue to exist. And it's in everybody's interest to come to terms with that. But the beauty of President Rouhani's appearance in New York and on CNN and elsewhere was the self-evident sophistication and intellectual brilliance with which he deployed Iran's arguments. And I'm glad to say part of his education, at least, was in my old city of Glasgow when I was his Member of Parliament. Let's hear finally from Ashraf in South Africa. Ashraf, welcome to the show.
It's a very announcing.
Go on, Ashraf. You're on the air, but you're running out of time. Go on.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead quickly, sir.
About the head office of the UN.
Yeah.
America has not earned the right to host the head office of the UN. I feel the right place for the UN's head office should be in Palestine.
Well, that would be very controversial. What about South Africa? We could have it there. It's a very good example of democratic transformation, no?
Yeah, no, it is. But there's a lot of hold on to South Africa by the same European forces.
Well, Cape Town would be a wonderful place, I think, for the United Nations,
it
Ashraf.
Be.
It's but one of my place? Favorite cities in all the world. I'd be a regular visitor to the United Nations if it were in Cape Town. Well, listen, thanks for that call. I'm sorry to hurry you on because we are fast running out of time. It was the week that President Morales demanded that the United Nations should be moved out of the United States. It was the week when President Rouhani, the new president of Iran, swept all before him with brilliant argument and in the name of peace.
Hello, if you just comment your name and the number. And just make sure that your telephone volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this phone number and then we'll be back.
Comment. Can I have your telephone?